time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Little wind, little rain cannot keep Eric Meehan from coming to visit with us.
No. The greater efforts were definitely drivers just hampering my efforts to get here.
The people who, and we talked about it with Alan yesterday, the people who don't understand the concept of a four-way stop.
Broadway is truly exceptionally ridiculous.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not the best driver in the world, but I'm not a bad driver. And I'm not to brag, but I always use my blinkers, right? Like, that is such a pet peeve of mine. It's like, wow. Little things like that. But I firmly am convinced after seeing the results of this storm and other, that people, most people out there have never actually had to pass driver's education.
No.
Like, these are basic things. I mean, you might not have to know what, you know, what percentage blood alcohol level is illegal or whatever, or things like that. You know, I don't need you to know that. Well, you probably
little
do.
Little things like understanding, like, who has
the right of way.
Understanding
who has the right of way is really important to, what's it called, survival.
Yes.
And it's an inverse. Somebody's mad at me already. I'm saying, if that is any one of the people I flipped off on the way over here, you deserved it.
Someone
Sorry.
Calling in to talk to Eric. What do you drive, sir? Oh, never mind.
My license plate says Skippy, and I drive a Honda Accord.
He's driving a Ford Pinto. He can't miss it. You know, no one tailgates him. It's great.
Yeah, right. That's hilarious. It's been educational. And as I was saying, there's definitely an inverse relationship to the amount of children I have in my car versus the amount of profanity that comes out of my mouth when somebody does something stupid. And I really regret that. I feel like I should lessen the amount, but that's not how it works.
No.
I start talking to the people in the other cars about my children. Do you understand my precious cargo? Meantime, I'm not paying attention to know what's going on. It's fine. The other thing, actually, my band had a gig in Orono at Tim Gallon's brewery, Brewery 1A, since 1B will be coming to a location near you soon, which is great. But they got some sort of transformer or something knocked out in Orono on Friday night as well. So we got up to the Kelly Road, no light. So my first experience of people not knowing what to do when that happens. And then, we got to set up by the light of one of the barbacks had a headlamp, like a climbing.
Wow.
It was awesome. It was hilarious.
So you could both play music and spelunk at the same time.
Exactly. At one point, I called Christine. I'm like, you might want to throw the acoustic in the car if you're coming down to see us, because I'm not sure there's going to be any amplified music tonight. But actually, it came on, so that was great. But lots of darkness in my life lately. In a literal way, I actually feel great. But
no, and you're here to spread some sunshine for us.
We're doing that. Although, it's a special Halloween edition, so we're drinking kind of a spooky wine.
I like spooky.
And we're taking a break from the world tour this week because it's sort of an extra downtown appearance for me. It's Halloween, so I figured we had to do that. Last year, the extra appearance, we did an election day special, but as this is an off-year election and frankly, there's not that much to joke about, depending on your point of view today. So we'll be doing the Halloween edition instead. So what I thought we'd take, we'll be drinking a Merlot from Washington State with it's called Rook. And it's got a spooky rook or a raven on the front of it, and it's really cool. So I thought we'd actually talk about it. I got to thinking about, like, wine and spirituality and spirits and religion, and I kind of thought it'd be interesting to kind of go around and talk about what the different major religions do and view as far as wine and other alcoholic beverages, because it's kind of interesting to me once you sort of go into it. Obviously, we've got what they call the three major, I'll probably butcher how this is pronounced, but Abrahamic religions, descending from Abraham and the tribes of Abraham. And so that's Judaism, essentially Christianity and Islam. And then we have some Eastern religions we'll talk about and other things. But of the three major religions that we discuss, there's some really interesting, drastically different takes on alcohol. The first, I guess, we'll talk about is Judaism, right? So, of course, the Jewish folks do drink, but they certainly center their use of wine around, you know, blessings on certain holidays, prescribed amounts on Passover, and then also, of course, they take wine and as part of their dietary restrictions as well, right? So we have this concept of kosher wine, and then also mevushel, kosher wine, mevushel, meaning heated, or you know, basically they bring the juice up to a certain temperature to purify it, and that, you know, if anybody has ever had bad pork or badly sanitized alcoholic beverages, things like that, a lot of the kosher restrictions make a lot of sense in certain respects, and so that's really an interesting subject, especially when, you know, you're making booze. People think, well, the alcohol protects you. Not always, and especially in lower concentrations, if there's some funk and junk still in that bottle, or carafe or wineskin or whatever it was at the time, it could really make you sick. And so there is that element to it. Of course, there's no religion that has such a unique take on wine as Christianity, I suppose. And I don't mean anything that I'm about to say as an insult to Christianity, by the way. I'd like to throw that out. But it's a really, when you're stepping back and looking at how all the major religions treat it, this is the one where you literally are drinking wine as a way of taking your savior into yourself. It's a direct, it's not just a blessing. It's this really interesting transfiguration sort of thing that is, it's unique amongst religions in a lot of ways. And because of that, obviously wine has had much more of a relationship in Christian based societies, in terms of, you know, think about where wine really got started and where the hotbeds of it were. Cistercian monks were the ones that started Burgundy and really right. kept all the records. And many, you know, throughout the histories, I mean, they came from Europe, which is basically Christian dominated, and then spread everywhere. And it's a very, very interesting thing. And by the way, speaking of spreading everywhere, if you don't believe that Christianity and the U.S. went hand in hand at one point, very deeply, especially politically, it's important to remember that during Prohibition, that famous experiment, the wineries that were allowed to keep operating made sacramental wine, in quotes. And Franciscan Abbey, things like that, Christian Brothers, all these things, they were around and they were making sacramental wine and brandies and things like that that were used in services. And therefore, once Prohibition was gone, they were like, sweet, well, now it's not sacramental, it's just wine. Ha ha! So enjoy. And so just, again, a really remarkable thing that, you know, it really impacts politics, it impacts really your take on it. And sadly, if anybody has ever taken communion, you're not typically drinking anything of quality. I did actually, I sold wine once to a church. They came in and they wanted port for their communion wine. And I was like, that's like 18% alcohol. That's serious. Are you going to water that down or anything? Mm. And he's like, no. I'm like, it's great. Yeah, you must have a lot of folks.
Father, I don't know what it was, but today's sermon was beautiful.
It was beautiful. Can I have Stilton on that wafer with the... I remember once, this is terrible. This is how bad a Christian I am, right? When I was a little kid and just I went to a Presbyterian church. And I was like, and my dad's like, you know, son, you're old enough now. Would you like to take communion? I was like, well, I'm thirsty. Can I just have like the juice? And he's like, no, son, you have to take both. And I was like, but the wafer tastes terrible. I don't know. Lawrenceville Presbyterian. I don't know. Maybe they've upped their game since then in terms of that. But I think
they're not serving port.
Yeah, they're not serving port or nice table crackers. No. It's really, that was one place I think they could have just stepped it up a little bit. I don't know. Maybe somebody's I would love to see like gourmet body of Christ. I think that'd be really, sure, you know. Yeah. Something you source from the boutiques in Manhattan.
Wait, was that, those were the Catholics turning off? Okay, good.
No, they're still there. You know who you are. You'd like exactly. to see it too.
You would.
But anyway, hey, you know what? Frankly, I'm in the wine business. If it wasn't for that, I'd be really up a creek. Now, speaking of religions that don't have as much to do with wine or alcohol, We'll hit that last one. Islam, of the major Abrahamic religions. So they mention alcohol and wine specifically, mentioned many times in the Quran, but most of the times they're admonitions. The first mention of it is wine is a blessing. Everything else is essentially talking about all the bad things that can happen with it. And thusly, of course, as many of you know, the drinking of alcohol has been heavily discouraged and even prohibited in many primarily Islamic countries. However, a lot of those primarily Islamic countries also do have very good vineyards and also very good other alcoholic products. The famous Middle Eastern Arak, which is a liqueur. So it doesn't necessarily preclude the fact that there's this relationship, but of course that is sort of the generalized view in Islam is that it's to be discouraged and looked upon as a way of perhaps in going too far. Eastern religions also generally discourage it or outright prohibit it, but and this is kind of, you know, again the All Hallows Eve part. They do use it sometimes in rituals, especially including funerals, as a way of honoring the dead and help sending them forward and celebrating their lives. Also, the Egyptians, speaking of which, now they didn't have a lot of wine. It was very, very hard to come by and very expensive, but the rich people did. But what they did do was drink a lot of beer, and that was very, very common, and they drank that in reverence to Osiris, and they sent their folks off with beer to help their speedy resurrection and happiness in the afterlife. So there you go.
And that's why they walk like an Egyptian.
That's why they sometimes they stumble like an Egyptian. Yes. There are definitely hieroglyphs out there of people kind of on like three hands, maybe posed over the ancient version of a toilet bowl. See, we started with In Excess. We're going to end with the bang. Cool. Well, as I'm running out of time, I did want to mention we're heading into November. We're going to have a lot of really cool events at the store. Of course, our regular monthly tastings are always a little extra special as we head into the holidays. And then I think we have a couple of other extra little things. And of course, the Harvest Fest coming up on not this weekend, but the next weekend. So if you haven't gotten your tickets for that, please come out to see us there. We'll have a booth as well as many of our other local friends. We'll be there. So come on, check that out. Check out our tastings. Check out our Facebook page. Stay safe. And if you're going out trick-or-treating tonight, as we are, stay together. Watch for lions. And just use your heads, because it's going to be tricky.
Absolutely.
And treaty.
Thank you, Eric.
All right. Cheers.
Eric Mann, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor.